Hello, welcome to Dyslexia Explored. I'm Darius, your host, and today I have with us a lady who is a specialist in dyslexia, qualified for further education, higher education. She's got dyspraxia, ADD, and sensory processing disorder. She's going to talk about this. She's also the founder of Diverse Learners, which is an online tutoring company where there's a team of five headed up that's supporting 16 plus year olds succeed and thrive in university, college, and work. So I'd like to introduce you to Kerry Pace. Kerry, it's great to have you here.
Hi, Darius. Thanks for having me. And I hope you're prepared to keep me on track.
I am. Well, we're going to do this in three sections, part one, part two, part three, three sort of 25 minute sections. And basically what we're going to do, listeners, is ask our typical Dyslexia Explored questions about Kerry's story, the beginning, the middle, and an end of her sort of story, or the where she's at now. And then in the next part, we're going to talk about nursing, dyslexia, dysgraphia,
all of the disses,
and the research you did many years ago that has a real relevance to what we're doing now, because it was the importance of online video in delivering assistance to people in college and university and work, if they're like nurses and medical trained people who often aren't available during normal working hours, and how that all works.
Yep, that's my
passion. I'm looking forward to part two. And then part three, we're gonna get stuck into the assistive tech side of things, that you've got a wealth of experience on the assistive tech side. So we've got tons of stuff to share with you today. So let's get stuck in to the podcast questions. Question one is like, where did it all begin for you? What was life like before you realized you had dyspraxia and ADD and so on? So tell us about that.
Well, that's really interesting, because I reflect on this a lot. I was brought up in a really small village in Scotland, and I think that to a certain extent negated some of the issues that I was having. So I went to a very small school. So there was 9 in our class, 63 in the whole of the school. It was very local. Everybody knew everybody. And so in a class of 9, I think teachers out there would be going, 9? You know, I've got like 29, 39. I think it meant that they could differentiate really well in terms of work and planning. Also, I think my dad was in the military, so we had a bit of a regime at home.
Was he up there at Helensburgh? And so
yeah, that's right. Faslane.
Base.
Yeah, absolutely.
Faslane, the nuclear submarine base.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So
I
moved
up.
Well. Well, I was up at 18. We lived in married quarters for about 6 or 7 months in Helensburgh, and then moved to a little village about a long way away, because Dad wanted to make sure that we were away from the base and those kind of things. And it was when he was home, it was very regimented. He whistled at 5 to 6, and you had to, wherever you were in the village, that's how small my village was, you could hear him, and you would rush home and you'd sit down. We had specific jobs. My mum worked, she was the only person who worked in the village. So again, we had designated jobs. When he was away, and that could be for 6 months, 9 months at a time, life was a little bit different. My mum also had mental health issues, which I didn't recognise until I became a young carer at the age of 14, when we moved from Scotland to our new address. That was a trigger for her. She also had chronic asthma. So I think I had a lot of responsibility from a very young age, and a lot of responsibility expected of me. But I think that also kind of hid some of the issues I was having, because if you have dyspraxia, dyslexia, or ADD and some of those things, so a lot of it can be organizational issues. A lot of it can be time management. A lot of it can be doing things in the right order. And actually that was imposed on me both at school, because it was such a small class, and at home. Things were different when we moved down. So when we moved down south to East Yorkshire, so we're in a little seaside town, at the age of 15, Dad had come out of the Navy, He was working away, but there was, my mum wasn't working. She was, her mental health was really, really poor. I was in a new school. Coming from Scottish education system, I was halfway through my A grades, coming to GCSEs, none of it made sense. I couldn't take the options I wanted. So there was a lot of influences at the time that probably were termed as responsible for my difficulties I had at school, where actually I think they were probably
difficulties.
Yeah.
And so in the early years, you had a small class size where the teachers could respond to them.
Yep.
So you didn't notice you had difficulties.
Yeah. Also, I was very, very tall. So I've been this height, 5'9" since I was 11. Wow. So a lot of the clumsiness and all of that and gangliness and gawkiness was kind of like put down to me being so tall. Because it was a small village, if you didn't do dance, brownies and karate, you didn't do anything. And of course, we know dance, ballet and karate are fantastic for core stability, for coordination, for repetitive movements, which are all very good for dyspraxia. And also, I was an English person in a Scottish school.
Okay.
And I've got quite a posh accent, do you know what I mean? So therefore, there was things being left out and being picked last and all of that kind of stuff. But it was often disguised as because she's the English person rather than because she's a bit gangly and whatnot. I mean, I had a really serious accident, and I've only just recalled this now we're talking about it. I had a really serious accident when I was 12, in my last year of primary, where I broke my coccyx jumping into a sandpit. And if you think about all the things you need to coordinate, you've got to run, you've got to jump, yes, you've got to fly, you've got to land properly. I broke my coccyx, and that really changed things for me as well, because I had to rehabilitate for a long time. Then it knocked on to, because of that, I had then a lot of migraines and a lot of pain that I had to manage. And so I had a very non-traditional childhood, really. And I think there were a number of elements that meant I was out of school for a while. Then we moved when I was 15, different education system. And so I think a lot of it was quite hidden.
Yes. And I think this is a common story with a lot of people with dyslexia, dyspraxia, dysgraphia, is, you know, the chaos of life can mask the chaos that is actually generated from the different way of thinking.
And I was also, sorry to interrupt, but I was also really taught to hide my mum, that I was a carer for my mum's mental health illness.
Okay.
So there was also that kind of masking that I could do, and my non-attendance was because I had chronic pain and migraines, but also it was because of mum as well. So I attended school about 33% of the time, and I was asked to leave school. I was asked to leave college. I didn't do A-level. So I dropped out twice in A-levels. Then my dad chopped me out of home. So I was homeless for a while. And all of these kind of things always, I thought, always had a root in. I always felt different, but I thought I felt different because I was a young carer, or because I was English in a Scottish school, or because I was chronic pain. And it wasn't until I met my husband on a sign language course in Wolverhampton, and I was training to be a communication support worker, that he kind of went, my God, your life has been so challenging compared to mine. It's been so difficult. Look at your resilience. Look at your determination. Look at your, you know, get up and go, and how you've dealt with things and addressed things. And I was a young, so when I was made homeless, I managed to find a community service volunteers, and I shall always be grateful for them. You could be placed, and they would pay your rent and your board and lodgings and give you a little bit of pocket money. So it meant I had a home, but I was, of course, very vulnerably housed. And that was caring for somebody who was at university who had arthrogryposis and painted with their mouth. And that gave me sort of like 9 months to kind of find out where I was. And I absolutely knew I wanted to go into sign language. So it was about finding a course that would accept me at age 17.
So what was your wake-up call? What was your wake-up call? Was it a person? Was it your husband? What woke you up to these underlying core difficulties? Now, yes, we in Dyslexia Explored, we talk about dyslexia.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about dyspraxia.
Yes.
Because, you know, dyspraxia is often co-occurs with dyslexia a lot, just as dysgraphia does and dyscalculia does and so on. And often these processing issues all have a core root that express themselves differently in words. I think of Just so you, the listeners have heard this, and just so that you understand where I come from in understanding this, have you ever heard of this analogy of using an automatic car and a manual car to explain dyslexia?
Well, I started using a automatic car about 3 years ago, and I was like, oh my God, my life has changed. It's got cruise control and all the rest of it. I felt like, you know, I took my driving test 8 times
eight
over the
times.
Space of
Oh my
6 years
goodness.
trying to get my driving license.
We've got a podcast with that talks about getting your driving license with dyslexia and how dyslexia affects driving. And apply even more to people with dyspraxia. So if you've got dyspraxia, go listen to the driving podcast.
But also know that it can be done.
Yes.
So that you absolutely can drive.
Here's the analogy. So if you imagine that dyslexia or dysgraphia or dyscalculia or dyspraxia, it's like the difference between a manual car and an automatic car. It's like a manual Ferrari compared to an automatic Ferrari. The engines are the same, but the gearboxes are different. So when we're talking about processing issues or slow processing, it's actually more like manual processing compared to automatic processing. So when it comes to dyslexia, you have to manually go up through the gears of reading, organizing, writing, planning, remembering. If you're dyspraxic, then you have to manually go through the processes of moving. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't be like an automatic and move your car from 0 to 70 up through the gears like an automatic car does just automatically. It can be seamless, but you still have to do it manually every single time. And so it can be smooth like an automatic, but it's still intentional. And so we use that analogy in Bullet Map Studio, Bullet Map Academy, and Dyslexia Explored a lot to help people understand what processing is. And that's very relevant to, especially to dyspraxia, because all these disses have this underlying processing, this manual processing.
So your executive functioning skills, yes. Absolutely. So what that's really interesting, I use a lot of motorway and B road analogies in my teaching in terms of writing PowerPoint or writing an assignment and you know, we like the scenic route, us people are neurodiverse, we like the scenic route. We go around.
We don't go down the highway, we go down the back roads.
So you still get to the same point. But if you went on the motorway, it would be quicker, easier, less tired than going down the back way, which is really interesting. But actually, there might be a little signpost that's fallen over and you don't quite know where you are. Or you might go, oh, what a lovely village church. Let me go over here when actually you're going to Tesco's. So the key thing for me would be, one, I understand the car analogy, but I would be careful because I think if you haven't driven a car and gone through that process, you might not know the difference.
Yes.
So for me, everybody went, oh, why don't you just drive an automatic car? Because then it'd be dead easy. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't know what it really meant. Do you know what I mean? But basically, I'm on the motorway and all I'm doing is holding the steering wheel because I've got cruise control. This is an old car, but it was like a miracle to me. Cruise control. So I can take my feet off. I can have them on the floor. Yeah. I don't have to sit holding that foot in that position with all the effort that takes me and all the thinking that takes me and all the concentration that takes me. And so I've got cruise control. So my feet are off and I'm not having to go up and down gears. All I'm doing is driving in a straight line.
Yeah.
However, to get onto the motorway, I'm screaming at everybody, everybody shut up, I'm going on the motorway.
Because, in the car,
yes,
you can't
absolutely
concentrate.
Absolutely, because there's people coming in this way, there's people coming in that way. And if I've got crunchy, crunchy, crunchy and the dog going whispering, the music boom, 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 and everybody singing the lyrics, I'm like, it's too much. So everybody has to shut up. And they know I'm going to go. My fists are white knuckles on there. I'm trying to, because you're having to look behind you to see how fast something is coming. You have to gauge that. You have to gauge how fast you are, where you are on this lane, where they are in that lane. Are they going to be an arse and not let you in? Indicate. All of these things you have to do, and they take a lot of processing. And then after about a mile, I'm like, inside lane, nobody in front of me. going about 60 odd. And I'm like, right, everybody can talk now and you can eat.
Fantastic. So back on track, wake-up call. What was the wake-up call for you? What woke you up?
Well, the wake-up call, first of all, I found out that I was good at something. So I was a brilliant sign language person. I just picked it up really quickly. And everybody goes, oh, sign language dyspraxia. That's a bit weird, because you have to coordinate fine motor control by pointing to the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, et cetera. You have to have placement, very clear placement about things in front of things and behind things, beside things. There's a huge load of vocabulary to learn, but equally it's very visual.
Mm.
There's a lot of facial expression and extra clues. And I'm not having to read. And I think there was a number of reasons why I was good at sign language, but it was the first time I'd been good at anything. And people had told me I was good at things. So that was the first call. But that wasn't a wake-up call for dyspraxia. I was just always a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? And when I met my husband, he was just like, why do you do things that way? And God, that seems a bit of an odd way to do it. But what the major wake-up call was, I got pregnant with my second child. Both my children both have dyspraxia, ADD, and sensory processing disorder as well. One's 15 now and one's 23 and living independently. So what happened was, I got pregnant and I was working as a sign language interpreter in a FE college, a sixth form college. And because I was off, nobody recruited any deaf students to come for the following year, because nobody was doing my job because I was the only one there. And what had happened was, when I went back, there were no students. So I got, well, I need to do something. I'm not a person, I'm a campaigner. I'm a person who wants to fix stuff. I'm like, well, where else can I be used? And actually what happened was, they said, oh, you can go to the remedial class, because that's the language they were using at the time. And there's seven kids in the remedial class resitting their English. And I went in there, and within about half an hour, I'm like, there's something not adding up here. There's something not quite right here. And now what's really interesting is, with deafness, British Sign Language is a language.
Yeah.
It has grammar. It has it's the fourth language in the UK after Welsh and English and Gaelic. So that was really, really interesting, because all of a sudden I thought, why are we learning in this really dull way? Why are we, like, you know, these kids have already failed their GCSE. They're very disengaged. You're teaching them. There's like answers that don't really add up. And when you talk to one-to-one to them, it didn't add up. And the crossover was that I also have a speech and language therapy assistant qualification, because I was supporting people with speech who had cochlear implants. So I knew plosives and fricatives and where your tongue had to be and all those pronunciation things and all syllables and all that, and teaching them and how to teach them. I just thought, there's something not quite right here. So that was in the first lesson. I went away and I just thought, I think these people have dyslexia. I didn't really know much about dyslexia. So I had a look. I went back the next day and said, look, I think these people have dyslexia. I was told by the teacher that she didn't appreciate my input there. But what I did then is that I went over their head, as I often do, and said, look, there's an issue of equity here. There's these people who need extra support. Yes, they are in a remedial class, but it's being taught in a way. Long story short, I got put into the course to support them. And that was because of that crossover. So when the following year there was no deaf students again, I thought, I gotta look for another job. So I, at that point, I had finished my OU degree.
OU, and is that
Open University, yeah.
And Australians.
Yeah, absolutely. So Open University means you don't have to attend in person. It's all done online. They send you the books through the post. I mean, a dyslexia, dyspraxia, joy, because they send you the stuff through the post and they say, week one, read this chapter, answer this question, post this back to us. Week two, and it's very, very prescriptive. And that was my golden ticket. And that meant I then could get a job that I saw as a dyslexia tutor at Hull University. And
okay, so let me get this right. So you're pursuing helping people with dyslexia all the time, not knowing that you yourself have got dyspraxia, ADD, and sensory processing disorder at the same time.
Yeah, but really exciting thing was the third week. So this is a temporary post. So it was a massive gamble for us. It was a my husband was training as a nurse. So it was a massive gamble. It was a temporary post going from a full-time post. It was part-time, but I had a youngster, so it made sense to have part-time. And it was a fixed-term contract. So it was only meant to last 16 weeks.
How did you find out that you were dyspraxic?
Well, this is it. On the second week in that job, I was reading the educational psychology educational psychology reports. And I was like, you know, and they tend to have a bit of a format. And then there was this one with dyspraxia, and it said, dropped out of college twice. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That was me. Took a long time to pass their driving test. I was like, that was me. Had lots of accidents when they were young. That's me. Has unexplained bruises. That's me. And all of a sudden, I went all the way down the list. And I went, couldn't ride a bike. Found it difficult swimming. Had trouble with zips. Shoelaces keep coming undone. Found difficult to actually finish anything, was very, very good verbally, but there was no proof that I was any good academically. So I went through, and this is a pivotal moment where I went through, and there was an occupational therapist on our team in disability services, and there isn't anymore, and it's a travesty. I'm just putting that out there. And I went to the occupational therapist, and I said, do you think I might have dyspraxia? And she said to me, I knew within about 30 seconds of meeting you. And I says, don't be so ridiculous. And she said, the way you did a massive step over the curb to get into the room, the way you pulled yourself in and made yourself smaller to get through the door so you didn't hit the top of your shoulders or the top of your thighs, the way you held on to the chair that had wheels, the way you went in and just adjusted the blinds because the light was not very good, the way you interrupted me, the way you were like really loud when you were excited. She said, there were so many clues. And I was like, really? Really? I found two. You employed me as a dyslexia tutor and I didn't know about dyspraxia. What the hell?
Wow. You know. And how and old were you at that point?
33.
So your wake-up call was the dyslexia report of someone else.
The dyspraxia report of somebody else, yeah.
Was it a dyspraxia report itself, or was it a dyslexia report that also talked about dyspraxia?
No, it was a dyspraxia report.
Okay. And then that occupational therapist. Fantastic. Yeah. So let's go on to, I want to go on to the challenge. 33, what was the main challenge in your story?
My main challenge in the story was when my boss, who completely got me, allowed me to work flexi time, which helped my disability and meant I didn't have to travel in traffic and I could get home for my kids, allowed me to work flexi time. And I said, well, why don't I keep earning you money when I'm at home? Because that's what the university cared about. Why don't I see people on an evening and see people on a night, and I'll do it via this thing called Skype? And they were like, that sounds a bit weird. And I said, so you know all these nurses we get who come into us like all at once in the lunch hours for about 3 weeks and then disappear off the face of the earth, and then we don't ever see them again for one-to-one support. We could support them because I could provide it on an evening and the weekends and do my hours that way. And the reason I was so passionate about nurses is my husband had just qualified as a nurse at that university, and I knew how hard that nursing course was. I never saw him. So if you have dyslexia and dyspraxia and you're a nurse and they say, oh, you need an hour a week support, and then you can't get it, I was like, this, you know, we need to enhance support for this group of people, of nurses, social worker, teachers, who have long, long placements, have very intense university lectures. We need to facilitate that. And she was like, that's a brilliant idea. And you're generating income. Win-win. That's an interesting idea. Do you want to come and do some research? You're thinking, ooh, research, that's what clever people do. You know, but I had an inquiry mind. I was like, well, why don't we just do that? And why don't we just do this? And everybody was going, oh, wow, that's amazing. And I was like, it really isn't. It's bloody obvious. It's not rocket science. And that, but I wasn't valuing that because it came easy. I was so used to things being very, very challenging for me. But very soon they said, we think you're so good, we want to put you on a course. And then they put me on a postgrad course to become a specialist dyslexia tutor for further education and higher education. So I'd get a qualification, a time when dyslexia tutors weren't qualified. There wasn't a qualification you had to have to be a dyslexia tutor. And so she was amazing. And then she left and things changed. And things changed quite dramatically. By that time, I was actually, which is another podcast, I was doing a lot of research. And the findings from my research I presented, you know, the comments I got from presenting that were so devastating to me. I came home in tears and went, I can't believe they've just been so rude, so dismissive. And my husband said, you know what you're doing on an evening for them? And I was working part time, so I was already doing stuff for them, but also stuff for me as a supplementary income because my husband was training and we had a young child and we're both working part time. So he said, two of our friends had died within 16 weeks of our youngest being born. And we said, we ain't working full time anymore. We're both going to go part time. It's the same as one full time wage before we both had degrees. And now, you know, the money for degrees was twice as much. So we both went part time. And I just said, yeah, all right then. And he went, well, why don't you do it? So I went in the next day and I handed in my notice and set up Diverse Learners overnight. And I set up a Facebook page, and I was in a field in a tent at a festival with a stranger who set up my Facebook page for me. And then I just started putting stuff out saying, I'm available at these times. We've got really long opening hours, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. So if you've got kids or you work or you've got a course that's very intense, I'll fit you in. And we'll do it this way. You don't have to travel. So it's very appealing for a lot of people because you don't have to travel. You don't get exhausted, which I get. You don't forget things because everything's in your room where you are. So that's a joy. And, you know, it's very interactive. We make sure we've done very interactive stuff. I've taught yoga and on this way. And, you know, so it's a,
so,
you know.
For the last, so basically for the last 11, 12 years,
yeah,
you've been online tutoring via video since, yep, that point.
Yes, and only doing it that. So we didn't do any face-to-face, yes, at all. It was all online. And it met a need of people that weren't being serviced. And I really believed in it. I got a lot of abuse, Darius. It's been a very, very hard journey because I got a lot of abuse. I got excluded from suppliers lists and, you know, I was, you know, my professional body was very abusive about the way I was doing things.
Oh, I see. So it was like substandard way of teaching. I've got you. So we're going to talk about this more in the next,
yep,
podcast. Okay.
Yep. I'm just going to tell everybody interrupted, but I work, but my same professional body gave me an award in 2018 for my outstanding, exceptional vision and performance as a tutor.
Fantastic.
So I just want to make sure you don't have a bad story there. You have a good story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the reward, you know. The fourth question is, what rewards were gained from facing that challenge? You know, you got recognition in the end. It's a classic sign of the dyslexics, dysgraphics, dyspraxics, etc., you know, that we are often forward thinking, we're joining the dots where other,
yeah,
people aren't. You predicted something was needed. You saw a problem. You solved that problem in that particular niche of nurses.
Yeah.
And it's so very relevant to our time right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, innovation, early adopting, seeing the solution. I mean, I got another award in 2019 that was all about rising stars in women. And I won't swear, but I wanted to kind of do the V's to some people and went, do you know what? All that abuse you gave me, I'm finally being recognized. But that wasn't the reward. The reward was being able to manage my own disability better, not get so ill. The reward was being home with my family. That was what the reward. So although I got this dyspraxia identification, I then started working differently. And then from that, I set up Diverse Learners. And then from that, it means that I can do podcasts when I want to, because I don't have to say, please, can I have this? And please, can I have,
yes,
that? I just go, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go and do it. And it's been a joy. I was made, but my husband said, he said, babe, you can never be employed anybody. You'd be a monster.
Well, do you know what? I think that would be a good point to stop this,
yep,
podcast and segue into the next one.
What, that I'm a monster? That's a good
one. No. You know, the nursing and the online learning and so on. That,
yeah, absolutely.
So in the next one, we're going to talk more about what you learnt in about the value of online learning and nursing and so on, and how it's relevant to COVID right now,
yeah,
and
absolutely,
children and university. And it's a good strategy to have in your belt. So we'll talk about that in the next podcast. So, Kerry, thank you very much for this.
This podcast is brought to you by Bullet Map Academy. We help children organize their thoughts creatively and unlock their dyslexic potential with the world's first online dyslexia school for study skills. We have a talk about mind mapping and dyslexia that will help you find ways to help your child keep up with friends at school and overcome that feeling of isolation. If you want to hear this talk and hear about what we do, go to www.bulletmapacademy.com/webinar or click on the link in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Please like and leave a podcast review so other parents can find it. Visit our website and join our newsletter for updates at bulletmapacademy.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.